It started off with, let's look at the skies. Our ladies then stood and sang, let's look at these skies. God has made a great proclamation in the skies. People look at for Halley's or Halley's Comet, whichever way you want to pronounce it. There's been a controversy recently of how to pronounce the word. I'm sure the controversy will go on. It's rather like saying tomato and tomato. It really doesn't matter so long as you get what you want. And I would like to share with you some of the things that took place. In the second chapter of Luke, and especially verse 11, is the key to the whole image of God, the whole beauty of Jesus, the whole glory of mankind, and the whole glory of the kingdom of God. The key is in a few words. Unto you, a Savior. Unto you, a Savior. And then his title is given, Christ the Lord. But unto you, a Savior. And then his title, Christ the Lord. How precious it is. Look at verse 13, and you'll discover there the skies know about this wonderful Lord Jesus. The skies, verse 13, suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God. In the skies broke open. And suddenly, with this angel, there was this vast multitude of angels singing and praising God. And all the skies heard the noise. All the skies heard the song as it reverberated backwards and forwards from star to star, from galaxy to galaxy, from earth to the whole universe. Unto you, earth, is born this day in the city of David, a Savior, Christ the Lord. Unto you, earth, is born a Savior. Unto you, Israel, is born the Messiah. Unto you, Gentiles, a Savior, Christ. Oh, isn't this precious? The whole skies knew it. The whole skies. Have you ever, I'm sure you, sometime or another, you've walked out of the front door or back door, you've looked out of a window and you've called the rest of the family, come, look at the sky. Look at the sky. The psalmist is a poet in some ways. He has a poetic frame of reference in his mind. He says the skies, the trees rather, will clap their hands and the rocks will start to sing. And we know that trees can't clap their hands. We don't even see their hands. And we know that rocks cannot sing. But whoever heard of the skies opening up and a wonderful chorus being sung? We've heard of it. It was a precious chorus that came in the sky. The sky knew it. The galaxies heard it. Our universe knows it. And unto you, earth, unto you, Israel, unto you, Gentiles, is born a Savior. He is the Messiah, the Christ, the Lord. Listen to the song. How will it be seen on earth? Well, second thing we need to look at is verse 14, for we discover here that the earth knows it. The earth knows it. The skies know it. The earth knows it. Look at verse 14. Glory to God in the highest, on earth peace. Goodwill to men. Goodwill. Peace. Goodness. Peace. Goodness. It's a simple statement. There's nothing very wonderful about it. It's just a very wonderful thing that is said to a group of people. The Israelites at that time, the Israelis, were absolutely oppressed by the Roman Empire, as was all the known world of the day, was absolutely oppressed, was bludgeoned into a submission that was unholy by Augustus Caesar in particular. And in that terrifying attitude, peace. It was a peace that was being spoken of as an international peace, as a national peace, as a human, ordinary peace between people, and the goodwill that expresses a peace that is between neighbors and between family units, a peace on earth, a goodwill toward men.
But it's a peace that Jesus tells us cannot be negotiated. It is God's gift. When he was saying, "My peace I give unto you, not as the world give I unto you." When he was saying that later as recorded in John's Gospel, I believe he was reiterating what the angels sang at his birth. This is the peace that has been given to you. Peace on earth. Jesus, the Christ, the Messiah, the Savior on earth. My peace I give unto you. To the Gentile, he is a Savior. To the Jew, he is the Messiah. To the earth, he is the Creator, visiting and treading on what he has created. And a wonderful thing comes. When Jesus walked upon the water, there was peace. When Jesus spoke to the wind, there was peace. When Jesus spoke to the people that were absolutely disheveled because of all the maladies of their bodies and their minds, there was peace. When the lunatic was ranting and raving and Jesus spoke the word, there was peace. And the earth knows it. That doesn't mean that the earth accepts it. It just means that the earth knows it. Knows that peace came, that Jesus has come. All through the world today, people are preparing for Christmas. And I can't help but think with tearfulness and great heartache within the depth of my heart of the people in Kentucky who were expecting a great Christmas with 250 of their dear loved ones, young fellows, young men in their prime. And I can't help but think in that garrison in Kentucky, just how the people are reacting at this very moment. Most likely in some service, somewhere on the base, off the base, somewhere in some church, some filled with resentment towards God and bitterness in their souls, won't even go near the house of God. And some crying and saying, "It's not fair, it's not fair." As those 250 men were incinerated, I'm sure the reason for that is one. Satan would take the attitude of people and the thoughts and minds of people away from the birthday of the Son of God, and he would plant the minds of people firmly upon a tragedy, upon something that the insurance companies will be calling an act of God, an accident. The insurance companies will eventually manage to pin it on mechanical or pilot failure and be able to say it was somebody else's fault. Who knows? When the annals of the history of men is read out in all the heavens later on, it will become apparent, I believe, that Satan is the one that used his finger to down the plane to cause the earthquake. And to cause the tragedy, and to cause the whirlwind, and to cause the horror, and to cause the despair, and to cause the bitterness, and to cause the resentment in mankind, because the earth knows Jesus came, and is, and will not leave until everyone that God has called from the corners of the earth, until all the elect are gathered together, the earth will know Jesus came. And we celebrate his coming at this time of year, whether it was actually the 25th of December. Those that want to be pedantic will argue and fuss for years to come until they enter into eternity. It really doesn't matter. What matters is we remember Jesus came. Jesus came. God's Son came. Messiah came. Christ came. The Savior came. Jesus came. But then we understand more things as we read this scripture. Go to verse 8 with me for a moment. And we discover that the poor people knew it. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. Could not God have revealed this wondrous sight to those soldiers standing on guard at the garrison? Why would he choose shepherds? If you go into Isaiah, we read over and over again that he will be the great shepherd of the sheep. Peter records in his epistles that this great shepherd of the flock, speaking of Jesus, Isaiah talks of the shepherd of the sheep. Now the lambs will come to him, and how he shall gather his flock together, and how he shall rule his flock, and how he shall bless his flock, and how he shall lead his flock. And Isaiah talks of the sheep. The Bible teaches us that we, like sheep, have gone astray, and so we needed a shepherd to come and gather us together and to lead us and to help us and to love us. And shepherds are not rich. They're not the ranchers of the day. They're usually poor people. And in the day of Jesus, they were poor people abiding with their flocks, living with their flocks. They didn't leave the sheep. They smelled of sheep. They lived with the sheep. They were around the sheep all the time. They were continually with the sheep, as Jesus is continually with us, as Jesus never leaves us, so the shepherd will not leave his sheep. A hireling, somebody hired to look after a flock, when the storm comes, hides himself and keeps dry from the rain. When the animal that is wild attacks the flock, if he hasn't weaponry enough, he will withdraw for fear he gets hurt. But the shepherd of the sheep, the shepherd of the flock, he stays, he fights, he dies. And the poor shepherd knows that. The poor knew it. Why didn't Jesus come? Why didn't God pull back the canopy of the ceilings of the palace of Herod and announce that in the palace the Son of God would be born, the King of Kings would be born, the Lord of Lords would be born, the Prince of all princes would be born? Why not amongst the scribes, the Pharisees? Why not amongst the priests, the high priests? Why not amongst all these wondrous, clever people? Was not the canopy of the heavens opened? Was not their homes pulled apart and God breathing down with his great announcements? If you look at the history of these people, there are many wise in their own conceits. There are many filled with all kinds of wisdom and all kinds of thoughts and all kinds of rationale. And there are people filled with all sorts of power, and in their power they think they have achieved something. Instead, God entered this world not even ruffling the scales of the serpent. He entered as a child, a baby, and the shepherd saw it, the poor saw it. Can you imagine the shepherd on the field looking after the flocks, seeing the people go by into Bethlehem, for instance, in only the one place in that royal David city where there stood a lonely cattle shed, where the mother had her baby and laid him in a manger for his bed? Can you imagine those shepherds? They'd seen the people assembling for this great census that was taking place, this great registry that was happening, and they had slipped in and registered and slipped out again. They were looking after their sheep, and nobody thought much of the shepherds. They were insignificant people, bodies on the hillside. They were quite insignificant. I'm sure there was a panoply of people. There was a great fanfare of the rich. There was the great show of the partying, and there was a great coming together of the large families, and there was a great excitement amongst some of the people, amongst the soldiers and amongst the civilian people, as they all came together in different places, especially in Bethlehem of Judea. And God says to the poor people that are just passed by and ignored by the clever, ignored by the wealthy, ignored by the successful, ignored by society in general. God says, poor people, listen to me. Unto you, a Savior. Here's his title, Christ the Lord. I think it's so exciting, the impetuosity of these people. When the angel had finished, they said, quick, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass. And they gathered themselves up and they went even unto Bethlehem. They weren't there. They were some way out of Bethlehem. Let's go even unto Bethlehem. And they took off and they went quickly, swiftly, and they found exactly what the angels had said, a babe laying in the manger. That was the identification. A child laying in a manger. And the poor rejoiced, for they understood the poverty of the child. They understood the poverty and awkwardness of the mama. They understood the poverty and the embarrassment of the father, who was not the father, but he was the stand-in father, Joseph. They understood. Immediately this child, just wrapped in swaddling bands, just wrapped in coarse pieces of torn cloth, just wrapped in perhaps the petticoats of his mama that had been shredded to wrap him in those warmer clothes. He had to have something round him. And in that manger lay the little Lord Jesus wrapped in rags. They understood it. They understood right now. They understood. They understood that this child had been delivered by his own mama. They understood, for their own women delivered their children the same way. There was no announcement. There were no horses galloping through the towns or the cities. There was no great announcement that the people could stand in awe. I remember standing on parade as a soldier, waiting for the prince to be born. We didn't know if he was prince or princess, obviously, at the time. We were waiting for the prince to be born. We went out on the parade ground early in the morning, and we waited, and we waited, and we waited. And some crude things were said about waiting so long. But eventually the prince was born, and at last we were able to come to attention, and we were able to slope arms, and we were able to march to the bands playing and the rejoicing, and we were all given the rest of the day off. The trouble was, it was nearly 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And there was certain resentment, or something like that. I don't remember the time. But it was resentment. But it was a great panoply. We marched through the town where we were stationed, and everybody was waving flags and cheering. And we were told, stand to attention, march, swing those arms, get them up above the shoulders, and hold your heads high. It wasn't so much fun for the soldier, but it was a great rejoicing in the principality. Bells rang. People were excited, but Jesus was born, and no bells rang, and there was no great announcement by mankind, but the heavens opened, and the skies knew it, and the earth received the message, and the poor were identified immediately with Jesus. The wise knew it. You have to go into Matthew's Gospel in chapter 2 and verse 1 and discover how wise men went to see Jesus. We talk of the three wise men, but actually we don't know if there were three or more. But we know that they carried three types of gifts. There was gold and frankincense and myrrh. The wise knew it. That is, those that understood the prophecies, those that had been looking for the coming of Jesus. And some have speculated that these wise men had traveled for 2 years. They had been following this star at night, and all their travel was nocturnal, and they had traveled in the night to discover where the star would stop. And those that understood the scriptures and understood the prophecies said that this star would lead them to that place. And so they came from afar, and they traveled from afar, and they came a long distance, and they assumed this child would be born in the palace. And they go to Herod. And the horrible thing is that Herod then massacred the young. But the wise went to Herod, and they stood in front of Herod. They said, "Where is he that is born king of the Jews?" And he was worried. "I don't need any more people getting up against me. I don't need any more uprising. I don't need any more competition. Who is this king that you're speaking about?" And they go to Herod. He doesn't know. But the prophets, the people that understood the prophecy of the word of God in the Old Testament, they said, "We know It's Bethlehem of Judea. And so Herod says, you go. When you find the child, come tell me, I'll go and worship. But the wise knew it. They traveled for 2 years, we think. We think that they came from so far away, it took 2 years of travel. And God guided them very gently, night by night, the star traveling before them. I don't understand how that happened. All I know is it happened because the Bible says it happened. And I will trust the Word of God as being the inerrant Word of God. And they followed this natal star, as we call it. They followed this wondrous leading of the God the Father to the place where His Son would come to this earth. And the wise will follow that star. And the wise will follow the leading of the Spirit of God. And the wise will follow what God has said. And the wise will follow where God has sent them. Are you wise? Are you poor? You're on earth. And the skies have announced to you, Jesus is here. And we're celebrating this time of year. Our families will come together. We'll eat far too much of food that we need none of. We'll give and we'll spend beyond our means. And we'll enjoy giving and we'll rejoice in receiving. It will be tremendously wonderful for all of us. We'll all get excited, and I hope you're all here singing and enjoying fellowship with us and the Lord Jesus. However, He didn't come to be a legend. He didn't come to be simply a heritage. Jesus came to be a Savior, to be Christ, the Lord. Is He your Savior? Or will you be unwise? Is He your Savior, or are you too rich? Is He your Savior? Can you call Him Christ? The Lord, and to you, a Savior, Christ, the Lord. Isn't that beautiful? As I was meditating on this scripture, my heart just burned within me. I pray that you too may have a yearning within you. Let's bow in prayer. Lord, we thank you. We pray that, oh, come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Come in today and come in and stay. Come into my heart. Lord Jesus, there is a poverty in my heart. There is a poverty in my soul. Come into my heart. Lord Jesus, we ask these things for your name's sake. Amen.